Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
All right, welcome aboard, everybody. Hello, Brother
Joseph. Hey, Brother Shannon. God bless you.
God bless you, brother. How you doing this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I just came back from seeing the movie, not for the first time, for the second time. I saw it last week. Absolutely phenomenal movie. I don't know if they got it in Indonesia. It's absolutely the true story. You know, it's called and it's a phenomenal movie. And I thank the Lord. It's called Unsung Hero.
Okay.
And it's about the
Hello?
The story. And the life of Rebecca St. James. It's phenomenal.
Okay. I'll check
anyways,
it out.
It's good. Yeah.
Sister Betsy, welcome aboard. How are you doing?
Thank you. Very well.
Folks, everybody,
good
welcome
to be here.
Aboard. We're excited to be here with Evangelist Joseph Cohen and Betsy Pelletier. And Brother Joseph, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yeah, sure. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come once again and to bring forth truth. Thy word is truth. Everything else about a religious book is a lie when it comes to eternal life and sins mm-hmm. forgiven, if they even mention that. And Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, not return void, accomplish that which you would have, Lord. Thank you for Minister Betsy on tonight with us, Lord God. We bind the hand of the enemy. We come against Satan, the demons, and powers of darkness. Lord, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. We command you to loose hold of the hearts and the minds of the people listening today in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, Lord God, hallelujah, for the anointing in Minister Betsy, Lord God. We come against curses, hexes, jinxes, vexes, spells, witchcraft, coming against Brother Shannon, his family, Minister Betsy, her family, myself, my family. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. We send back any of that garbage back to you faster than when it came to us. The blood of Jesus over us. We have the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Quench every fiery dart of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So praise God. Minister Betsy is going to share the word. She usually is on the first Monday of the month, and she will.
First
Tuesday, of course, of the month. And so since we have five Tuesday in this month, I ask her to come on this day, and she'll be on next Tuesday. So be sure to listen to her if you haven't heard it before. Thank you. God bless you, Sister Betsy. It's all yours.
Hallelujah. I am so blessed to be able to do this and to share the goodness of God toward us, which is always my main title. And the subtitle today is, What Causes Us to Rejoice? Question. And I'm going to be giving the answer according to the Word of God, what the Word of God says about joy and rejoicing. I mean, there might be other opinions out there, worldly, you know, what's out there in the world, what the world might think brings joy, brings happiness, brings gladness. But I'm coming to you tonight with the distinction of what God's Word says about joy and rejoicing and hope. So, in Psalm 33, verses 18 to 22, it says, Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. And that word fear is like utmost awesome respect, not in the sense of afraid in a negative way. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Now, what is God saying in these verses? We know from God's word that hope is something that is not seen. And he's telling us to trust in something that we do not see. that is quite odd. And to rejoice in something that we do not see. Oh, God's word is so simple. Okay, so it sounds very, like, obscure, but it's really not. And so what is this thing that we do not see? It's his words. Because you don't see words. You hear words. And that's why God says faith comes by hearing. And it's just a universal principle. Faith for anything comes by hearing. You know, and I have given in the past the example that always comes to my head. If somebody is listening to the weather report and the weatherman says, oh, we're going to have rain starting at like 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then you might be going out, so you hear that word that the weatherman said, you believe it, and you have faith in what he said, and so you act on it and bring an umbrella with you. So that is faith for what the weatherman is saying. But we have something greater than what a weatherman says, because as we all know, weathermen are wrong so many times. It's a good thing they don't get paid on their accuracy, because they wouldn't be making much money. So he's telling us to rejoice in that something that we don't see, which is his words. And in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, and this is such an encouragement, whom having not seen, he's talking about we, the believers, we have not seen Jesus, but we love him. Now you see him not, it says, even though we don't see him now, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So this gift of hope is a continuing, ongoing process that keeps us secure and keeps us rejoicing. And in Psalm 70, verse 14, it says, but I will hope continually. He wants us, it's a continual, ongoing process of hoping in this thing that we do not see, which is his promises that are in his word. And in 1 Peter 1:13 says, and I quote, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that word gird, we think about a girdle, right? A girdle, like, holds in all the extra flab that somebody might have. People used to wear girdles back in the day. I don't know if they still do. But this says, gird up the loins of your mind. Like, put a fence around your mind. Like, protect your mind. Keep it gathered in unto what is holy and right. And it says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, because it's impossible, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody out there that actually had the thought that God is a liar, because that is so not true. The one thing that the book of Hebrews chapter 6 says, because it is impossible for God to lie, we have a strong refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And this hope is a real thing. Like, this hope that we have, it's an anchor for our soul, that we're just not, like, tossed, you know, to and fro and about by, like, every wind of any kind of doctrine. No, our soul is secure in the hope that we have according to God's promises. And our hope is to be based on the word of the Lord. based on his righteousness, not our righteousness. Now, it's the only true hope that there is. I mean, there is hope out there in the world, but it's not a true hope. It's a false hope. Now, here's an example of I'm going to give you an example in the Word of God of an unrighteous hope. Remember in the book of Esther, there was that wicked, wicked Haman who wanted to kill all of the Jews because he hated Mordecai. And he finagled his way to get the king to agree to have all the Jews executed. And it says here, now in the 12th month, that is in the month of Adar, on the 13th day, when the king's commandment and his decree to kill all the Jews drew near to be put into execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them. Though, but that hope that they had to kill all the Jews, it was turned to the contrary. And the Jews had rule over them that hated them. If anybody doesn't know the story, that wicked Haman who schemed to try to get Mordecai and all the Jews killed, and he even built a gallows to hang Mordecai on. And it turned out, and the king didn't know this wicked plan, what it was really about, and he just went along with it. And it wasn't until Esther, in the boldness of the Lord, went to the king and said, you know, please, you know, protect my people because there's a scheme out to kill them. And the king loved Esther and said, who is this person who's trying to do this wicked thing? And Haman was the king's right-hand man. And Esther said, wicked Haman, he's the man. And so the king commanded that Haman be hung on the gallows that he had intended for Mordecai to hang on. So I'm saying this because he had a false hope. It wasn't a godly hope. So if we didn't have God's word, in our life, do you know what we would be without? There's two things that we would be without if we didn't have God's word. And once again, the simplicity of God's word, the answer is so simple that it might go over everybody's head. We would be without God and without hope. And Psalm 119 verse 114 says, God's word provides for us a hiding place and a shield. And there was somewhere, I think it's in Psalms, it says, he will hide me in the secret place of his pavilion. And in Psalm 119 verse 116, it says, uphold me according unto thy word, according unto thy word. And we could believe according unto his word. Because why? Because he never lies. And it says, uphold me according unto thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. And the Apostle Paul said that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is our sure hope. The ingredients that are within the hope of the Lord are mercy and plenteous redemption. That's what the word says in Psalm 130, verse 7. And in verse 5 of that psalm, it says, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Now, when we meet up, this verse really blessed me, Psalm 119:74. When we meet up with another believer, doesn't that cause our whole being to rejoice? And in Psalm 119:74, it says, they that fear thee, talking about the Lord, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. So what does that mean? It means when believers meet up with each other, we get glad. You know why? Because we know that each other have our hope in the Lord, and it makes each one of us glad. it's such a blessing to meet up with another person who has the same hope, because they have joy in their hearts, because the joy of the Lord brings, you know, the hope of the Lord brings us joy. The world professes false hope. Now, what is false hope? Hoping in something that is not based on truth. That's what false hope is. Now, so there might be somebody right now saying, so what is truth? And only God's word is absolute truth. So somebody might be saying, what is absolute truth? Well, absolute truth is a truth that does not ever, ever, ever change. Never. Never changing. And that's what God's word is. Never changing. Facts can have a quality of truth temporarily and can change at any time according to circumstances. The world professes the hope of the lottery. We see that. I mean, it's amazing how many people put their hope in the lottery now, and how many people pour out their hope and money. Even some people spending their food and rent money and necessities of life on this false hope, into this false hope. And on a larger scale, the inhabitants of the earth are going, there's going to be a time when they're going to be putting their hope and trust into an entity which is called the Antichrist. And God wants us to hope. And it's all going to look really good, just like they make the lottery look good. But we have to only hope in what God's word is. And God's word warns us against this entity called the Antichrist. So God wants us to hope in his promises, even when in the natural, it truly looks impossible. And I want to give you an example in God's word, of course, of a hope that seemed completely impossible. And it's our father Abraham. He was 90, in his upper 90s, when the Lord told him, well, it was before he was in his 90s that the Lord told him that he was going to have a son. And Sarah, his wife, who was way, way past the age of bearing children. And it says here, they, in Romans 14, verse 18, it plainly says of Abraham, who against hope, he had no reason to hope, none in the natural. He believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, which he did because he believed God. And the word says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you know that God called Abraham righteous even before he was circumcised? Why? What made him righteous? Because he believed God's promise about Isaac, and God called him righteous. And then afterwards, he did receive the outward sign of the covenant promise of circumcision. So he believed according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That's what the word says. And the angel Gabriel, another example of that, so God told Abraham in words that he was going to have a seed, which was Isaac. And the angel Gabriel spoke the word, which is seed, because God's word says that his word is seed. And the angel Gabriel came to Mary, a virgin, and told her that she was going to conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, who would save his people from their sin. And that seed of the word, which Gabriel spoke, Mary believed. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And that word became flesh, just like the word that spoken to Abraham, that word became flesh in the form of Isaac. And this word that Gabriel spoke to Mary became flesh. And it says, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Moses, he came with the law, and Jesus came with grace and truth. And our faith is based on our unseen hope. It's because he says hope that is seen is not hope. For why would somebody hope for something that he could see? If you could see something, then it's not hope, because hope is something that is unseen. So Hebrews 11, verse 1, actually gives us the actual definition of faith, telling us that faith is the substance. Now, we know substance means substance, something tangible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, just like Isaac and Jesus. They were the evidence of faith, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this faith is that which justifies us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified in the sight of God through faith in Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope. This is what we rejoice in. What causes us to rejoice? It's our hope that causes us to rejoice. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And God promises us that we never need to be ashamed of our hope, because of this blessed hope, the love of God, because we have this blessed hope in our heart, we cannot help but have God's love shed abroad to all we come in contact with. And it's shed abroad. It's in our hearts, so it comes out of our hearts. And whatever is in your heart comes out of your mouth. You can't help it, because the Bible also does say, out of the heart come the issues of life, and the tongue speaks that which is in the heart of man. So if you have a heart full of the love of God, it's going to come out of your mouth, because that's what's inside. And, you know, and it's all working by the power of the Holy, what the Bible calls the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. And that's a free gift. As you know, when we believe in Jesus, he comes, he makes us a new creature. And so listen to this promise. I love this. The hope, and I'm quote, Proverbs 10, verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. That's the byproduct of our hope in his most excellent promises, is gladness. That's a promise. And here's another one. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keeps truth forever. And that's what I was saying about the absolute truth. It's forever. His promises don't change. He doesn't make these great promises to us and then one day say, never mind, I'm taking back my promises, it's all going to be crummy from now on. No, that's not who our God is. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, now the God of hope, he calls himself the God of hope. And it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He wants us to abound in hope. because he is the God of hope. So he wants to, us to be filled with what he is filled with. And he's the God of hope. He's the God of all hope. The real hope. And God has given us this amazing gift of hope. Even in times of sorrow, he says, when our loved ones pass on, which is a very sad thing when we lose our loved ones. But you know what? He says that we do not have to sorrow in the same manner as those who have no hope of ever seeing their loved ones. No. Why? Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which died believing, God is going to bring with him. And we will one day be reunited with our loved ones. And he says, so comfort one another with these words. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, he says, comfort your hearts, because he has given us this consolation of hope. He says, oh, comfort, be comforted. Comfort your hearts and establish yourself in every good word and work. He is, when we go about doing God's business, he establishes the work that we do on his behalf. We're established. And he, you know what else he says in his word? That he would like our hearts to be established in grace. Now, just as an invisible concept we call gravity, right? We don't see gravity, but nevertheless, we know it's a thing. And because of this gravity, it keeps us, I mean, think about it. Think about it. I think about this a lot, that the earth is like this ball that's literally floating in outer space, being kept by the word of God's power in its specific spot, turning in its specific way according to the word of the Lord. Now, think about it. When we walk outside our house and we look up, all we see is we see sky. We don't see a ceiling. It's really amazing. And that invisible force of gravity . There are also spiritual concepts that we learn, and we could know what they mean because of the earthly concepts, right? So also, this thing called hope keeps, as I said before, it keeps our soul anchored in Christ. And this is what the hope of his word does for us. It keeps us anchored. The God of hope has filled us with all joy and peace. In what? In the simplicity of believing. We just happen to, you know, just like a child. And Jesus says, unless you come to him as a child, we can't receive anything of the things of God. He wants us to be childlike in our faith, in our believing. When children hear their parents tell them something, when they're little, a promise, oh, you know, your birthday is tomorrow, you know, and you're going to get a really good gift. We believe, and that's how God wants us to be. When he tells us something, he just wants us to believe him. And you know why? The God of hope has filled us with all joy and peace in believing that we, and here's his word, that we may abound in hope. So if we're abounding in hope, through the power of his Holy Spirit, the reason why he wants us to abound in hope is so that our joy will be abounding. The more hope we have in all of his good promises, it only stands to reason we're going to have more joy, more hope, more joy. And in closing, I'm almost done. In closing, I found this in Psalm 25, verse 5, which says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." And the you know, where it says, "For you are God my Savior," the word "you" is the same as saying, "My hope is in your word," because he said in the beginning, this is what he says in his word, in the beginning. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God wants us to hold tight to the confidence and the rejoicing. He wants us to be rejoicing. This is his good pleasure to have us rejoicing. He wants us to hold tight to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And that's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. And in Psalm, I want to read something to you because this is really beautiful. And it's in Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 through 11. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." That's what he says about his word. And Jesus, oh, this is really enlightening. Jesus sent out 70 of his disciples to go and share the good news. And they did, and they returned all full of joy, saying to him, "What?" You know, basically they were, I could imagine they were probably saying, "Wow, Lord, you should have been with us. You should have seen what happened. Even the devils, they were subject unto us through your name." And you know what Jesus' reply to them was? "Yes, it's true. I have given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and the evil one, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." However, he's rebuking them and correcting them and enlightening them. He said, "However, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the book of life." Your names are written in heaven. This is what you should be rejoicing in, not rejoicing in having power over the enemy. No. In fact, there was, in the Gospels, it says that there will be those who are saying to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, have we not done great things in your name? We have cast out demons, and we have healed the sick, and we have done this, and we have done that." And you know what his response is going to be? "Depart from me. I never knew you." And I want to give you a real enlightenment about what that actually truly means. Jesus always used the words that his father used. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, it says that Adam knew his wife Eve. It uses the word "knew." Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and brought forth a son, fruit of the womb. And Jesus is saying to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You and I, we never had an intimate relationship where you, now Jesus always brings it into the spiritual realm. It, with Adam and Eve, it was new intimate relationship to the end result of bringing forth a baby, fruit of the womb. But Jesus is saying to these people who were bragging about everything they were doing in his name, and he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He used the word knew, which meaning you never had an intimate relationship with me whereby you brought forth fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians 5, which is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, gentleness, temperance, I mean, goodness. And that's what he was saying to them. So he's saying to his disciples, don't rejoice in that the devils are subjected to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. And you know what caused Jesus to rejoice? And which causes us to rejoice? He rejoiced and he prayed to his Father saying, I thank you, Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things. What things? The things about the kingdom of God. You have hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. When babes, meaning the people, they were just like ordinary, run-of-the-mill people. These people that Jesus called, they were fishermen. They were simple people. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, to choose simple, to bring forth the simplicity of God's word. And in Psalm, this is the last thing that I have to share, in Psalm 5:11, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in you. And we know, it says, let them also that love your name be joyful in you. And we know that God has given Jesus, the Messiah, the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's written in the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 10. So, praise the Lord. That is the word of the Lord. So rejoice. Be free to rejoice. Because he wants us to be, where the, you know, it says in the word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, do you know what is present? Liberty. That's what it says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And he has called us to liberty that we can rejoice in all of his good promises, his exceeding and great and precious promises. Oh, just one last thing. As a matter of fact, that's how we receive his divine nature, by the exceeding great and precious promises. That's how we receive God's divine nature. And he has us escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, which is, and I say lust, I don't mean just a sexual thing. I mean, lust is like over desire for anything that's in the world, and not having our comfort and our sustenance and our hope and our everything in God's word, in the Lord, our God and Father. So praise the Lord. That is the word of the Lord. And I do hope that it has caused you to rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen.
Great word today. Sister Betsy, what would you like to title this again for the archive?
I would like to title this, What Causes Us to Rejoice.
Fantastic. Brother Joseph, back over to you.
Well, Minister Betsy, what a powerful word. And especially in the times that we're living in now, where people don't know what's right from wrong because their minds have been seared by the demons from the dark world. So why don't you say two prayers, Betsy, and one for unbeliever, maybe somebody's not saved, you know, that they don't know Christ in the personal way, and that, you know, if their sins are not forgiven, if they die tomorrow, they're going to be eternally damned in hell, and then from hell to the lake of fire. And then also, just say a quick prayer for believers that will believe your word. If they're straddling the fence, many times straddle the fence, Minister Betsy, because God's not their errand boy. He doesn't come when they want him to come, you know? And so what happens is that they say, God, well, where are you? And what's going on? And then they let the enemy play with their minds and they backslide. So if you could do those prayers, Betsy, that please.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for, if there's anybody listening to this word who has not received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart, in order to be transformed into a new creation, I just thank you, Lord, that their heart and their mind will be open to invite the Lord into their heart and to put their trust in that step of faith. And I just thank you, Lord, that they would have meekness in their heart to do that, and which has nothing to do with our feelings. It's just a step of faith. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. And also, I thank you that if there are people who are listening who are believers, but they are having doubts about wholeheartedly believing your word and having doubts, I just thank you, Lord, for removing any shadow of doubt, because with you there is no shadow of turning when it comes to the power and the sureness of your word. So I thank you, Lord, for giving your believers more confidence to completely, totally relinquish any doubts to you, and to humble themselves under your mighty hand by casting all their cares upon you because you care for them. And we know that your word says that is how we humble ourselves, by casting all our cares upon you, Lord. So I do thank you, and I pray in the powerful name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Brother Shannon?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Would you play the communion song? Then people get ready for communion, please.
Fantastic. Folks, we're going to give you an opportunity to join us for communion, those that would like to. Communion can be taken by any believer in Jesus Christ. And it says, as often as you do it, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. We're going to play a song, give you an opportunity to get prepared. You're going to need to prepare your heart if you're going to take communion with us. By doing that, that means be ready to meet Jesus if you were to die tonight. When you meet him at the communion table, same thing. You're going to meet up with him, and you don't want to come with your sin. So if there's any unconfessed sin you have not dealt with, if you want to take communion, you want to repent of that first. Of course, to be forgiven, you also have to forgive others. So if there's someone right now you're holding on to any bitterness or unforgiveness, maybe they've hurt you, do not take communion, because it will not be accepted. In fact, you'll get judgment at the Lord's table if you come unworthily. That is, unless you first forgive. Now, if you'll forgive, then we can be forgiven. So communion should be taken often. Really, it's a preparation for meeting Jesus when he calls us home, or he comes back at the last trump. whichever comes first. You don't want to wait till you meet Jesus to get prepared. You want to get prepared now, judge yourself so that when we meet him, he doesn't have to judge us and find us in sin. So communion is a great thing if you're prepared to do it. Meeting Jesus is a great thing if you're prepared to meet him. But if you're not, you want to get prepared now. It's too late when the spirit leaves the body. So we're going to read a communion scripture, play the song, give you an opportunity to get your wine or your grape juice, your cracker, your matzah, your bread. Luke 22 says, "And Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." And now here's a song. What a beautiful song. Brother Joseph?
Beautiful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, what we do every Tuesday night when we take communion, when we drink the cup, we say, "Hail to my King Jesus," three times, in case this is the first time you join us, in honor of the Trinity. You know, the Trinity has always been in agreement with everything. They have to all say yes. And if the Trinity wasn't in agreement for Jesus dying on the cross, we'd all be doomed to eternal damnation. And so we honor the Trinity. We say, "Hail to my King Jesus," three times, and in honor of the Trinity, and "Hail to our King Jesus" once, in honor of the, and with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Around the world that's listening to this show, that's taking communion, because there's one faith, one baptism, one hope, and one body. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to eat bread from the earth. Thank you, Father God, for your broken body, Lord, which symbolizes, Father God, our body to be whole and to be well and to be healed. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Psalm 103 says you forgive our sins and heal us of all our diseases. We thank you, Father, that healing is the children's bread. By your stripes we were healed, are healed, and will be healed. So, Father, as we take the broken body, Lord God, anything in our bodies that we might know of that's not right, Father, or anything in our bodies that we don't know, that's not right. We command you to line up with the word of God of wholeness and health. We speak forth health and healing to any afflictions in the body of people listening on this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake with the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It was a blood donor, Jesus, that saved our life. We thank you, Father, that you donated your blood out of your body so that you could have a family that would be living with you forever. Thank you, Lord. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Berei pri agafen, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to drink fruit from the vine. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Juice from the vine. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, for your shed blood at Calvary, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. There's power in your blood, healing in your blood, deliverance in your blood, faith in your blood, hope in your blood, peace in your blood, joy in your blood, love in your blood, mercy in your blood, and great grace in your blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. We thank you, Father, who wet us snow because of your blood. Thank you, Father, threw our sins into the sea. Forgetfulness, remember them no more. As far as the east is from the west, so are our sins forgiven. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that the eraser that you use to erase our sins on your blackboard is your broken body and shed blood. So I can pronounce and declare, Father, that as we take communion tonight, Lord God, that we're building up our immune system against any attack, any viruses, Lord God, any coronavirus, any sickness, any disease. Zechariah 2:5, your wall of fire, putting that wall of fire around us, God. Any of those things attack us, Lord God, will hit you, the wall of fire, and die. So we thank you for that, Lord. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the one who was and is to come, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. We bless you, we praise you, we love you, we adore you. In your name, amen. Let's partake with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. And before that, I want to say, hail to my King Jesus. Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to my King Jesus. And hail to our King Jesus. Amen. Let's partake with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory.
Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And Brother Joseph, Sister Betsy, would y'all like to give out your contact information? Sister Betsy, you first.
374, and you can feel free to call me, because if I don't answer right away, I will get back to you. So if you need prayer, if you want, have questions about the word, just give me a call. Okay.
And in order to reach me, you could email Brother Joe at newhopeinthelord.com. You could watch our we have a website, newhopeinthelord.com. We have Betsy and Brother Shannon on my YouTube channel. You could put their name in, Shannon Davis and Betsy Pelletieri, and / New Hope in the Lord, and you can see them and hear their testimonies, and please subscribe if you do go on. And to support us through PayPal, paypal.me/ Cohen727, or through Zelle, which is rev.joseph@aol.com. And if you're still listening to the broadcast, I would highly recommend you go see Unsung Hero, and it just ties in with Minister Betsy's message on faith. When you leave one country to go to another country with nothing, the only one you have is God, and they had God. And through trials and tribulations and pressures of life, God intervened and met their needs and changed the course of their life. Amen.
Betsy, Brother Joseph, thank you for coming on tonight. Love you all, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, Brother Shannon, love you. God bless
you. Love you too.
That's a Betsy too. Bye-bye.
Folks, a few times tonight my internet burped. I don't know what it is, but it is annoying. And if it keeps up, I'm going to have to change to another internet service. But I'm going to try to reboot my computer. I didn't do that before I came on. I just rebooted the modem. Let's see if that helps. We're going to take a break, come back, do another program. But first, I'm going to save this one and refresh. Be back in about 5 minutes.